You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing.
I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
You know what's bad for regular Americans? When a radio show host confuses Pete Seeger and Bob Seeger on the radio. We're not talking night moves. We're talking If I Had a Hammer. Thank you to Chris Erb in Sun Prairie and a texter on the WMDX text line helping me correct my oh-so-embarrassing error of the last segment. It is Friday afternoon, everybody. I hope you've had a great week of work. Welcome to the weekend. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just wanted to share two little bits of some breaking news this afternoon, this evening, if you will. The first is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson gave an address earlier today, and she did not pull any punches. I love this woman. She is so impressive. I think her opinions that she's written for the Supreme Court are extraordinarily accessible to regular people. She speaks in it and writes in this very authentic voice. She called upon federal judges to show, quote, raw courage as they face down the barrel of the lawlessness of the Trump administration. I applaud her for that. And I'm going to put a marker down here, folks. Ultimately, I think we may see a contempt ruling by one or more federal judges. And I think as a matter of politics, not the law, I would certainly hope to see that from a Republican appointed judge, from a very conservative jurist, or preferably a Trump appointed judge like Judge Rodriguez in the Southern District of Texas. Or perhaps Harvey J. Wilkinson III, who is Justice Kavanaugh's old law school roommate. Let me just put it that way, like if that tells you who that guy is. But mark it down, 5:08 p.m. on May 2nd, there will eventually be a contempt finding against the Trump administration. Let's see what comes next. But what we got for you now is a little bit of Friday fun. We like to call this segment Ask Maggie. I bring my senior producer, Jamie, on. She is amazing. And she asks me whatever questions she selects from the ones that you send her. You can send in questions via text and email. Text line is 855-752-4842. And the email is askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Jamie, welcome back. It's nice to see you.
Thanks. Well, it's good to see you and happy Friday. Hey, I have to say this. We need Jim Santel on a lot. And our listeners, too, by the way, we're loving Jim Santel today because they had a lot of love for him. And I'm just getting to know Jim a little bit more in the professional capacity. I have to say, though, I feel like I vicariously know him because if you listen to him on Saturday mornings, his producer, Max, happens to be my kid. So the media gene runs deep, deep in the family pool. So, so it's a little bit fun to get to know Jim that way, too. And by the way, they have a great relationship. Max respects the heck out of Jim Santel. And obviously, if you were just listening to the last hour, you understand why, because he knows his stuff and he's a good guy all the way around.
Well,
so
the thing,
I love that.
When I get to talk to other nerds, nerds nerd in different ways.
Yes.
So, you know, it's, Jim and I, we grew up as lawyers in different practice areas, but I can tell when I'm talking to Jim that like some of the stuff that's on my mind about things is also on his mind, but mm-hmm. the angle at which he's approaching the topic is slightly different. I really appreciate sure. that. So I'm very excited to have Jim with us every other Friday and every other Tuesday, doing some deep dives and some big picture yeah. thinking as well. So my thanks to Jim. You can catch Jim Saturdays from 9 to 11. His program's called Amicus, a Legal Brief.
Yeah. It's a great show. I promise you won't be disappointed. Got to give a little love here quickly before we get into our first question to our texters as well. Steve from the Milwaukee area, he texted in today saying he actually runs the poll where you happen to vote. And when you vote in person, Maggie Dawn, he gets a hug from you.
So Steve hello, knows Steve, I vote every election day because I see him at the polls. Hey, Steve.
That's right. That's right. And I love everybody who today was on top of the Bob Seger versus the Pete Seger thing today.
Yes.
Yeah, I Very love it. Impressive. I love it. You guys know your stuff. You are impressive. All right. So speaking of knowing our stuff here today, let's jump into these questions because we have some good ones. And like always, it's a little bit of a mix of everything. So would you like to start out on a lighter note, Maggie, or would you like to start out on a little heavier note today?
I don't know. Donald Trump hates Big Bird. Give me the heavy stuff.
All right. This is a good one. This comes from Mark in Prairie du Sac. And we're going to change our way of thinking a little bit and go into the RFK vein of stuff.
Oh.
Mark wants to know this. What's going to happen to update the annual vaccines like COVID, flu, pneumonia, RSV, etc.? Now that the CDC has essentially been kneecapped and the U.S. has dropped out of the World Health Organization, you said you wanted to go heavy. That's about as heavy as we got today, Maggie. So,
it is.
Jacob, I know. And it's an awful conversation to even have to have. But here we are. It's been an awful last 100 days. I think we can all agree on that. So we're going to go with 1 minute on this one because I feel like you're going to need some time to parse it out. So, Jacob, whenever you're ready, start that bed for her.
Well, thanks for your excellent question, Mark. I believe, and I'm going to try to fact check this, or Jamie's going to help me with this, but the last I heard, there have been rumblings in the Trump administration that not only are they gutting the CDC, they are also looking to stop federal investments in vaccine building blocks. So it's the very things that are used to help update, identify new strains for the flu vaccine, COVID, RSV, all those things that your docs tell you each fall and winter to get updated. What's going to happen is more Americans are going to die. That's what's going to happen. So lest we forget what the stakes are under this administration, we are going to be sicker, we're going to be dumber, and more of us are going to be dying at a faster clip. That's what's at stake. Nothing less than you and your family's health and wellness.
And you've kind of gotten into that. I mean, that's one of the things that scares you the most as somebody who loves a lot of data is the fact that this administration has been essentially just getting rid of all of that data over the last 100 days.
Right. Essentially. Like, it's not an okay. What the Trump administration will do is it's not an okay thing for their own data to show that their own policies are killing more Americans. Right. Like right. if that's very clear in the data, well, I would call that a policy fail. So right. what are they going to yeah. do? They're going to manipulate, scrub, or inhibit the very collection of the data that would let us know that their policies are failing. Always watch the data. Specifically, are they asking and collecting the right data? Is it all skewed? And that is a big fear. Because at the end of the day, I can have really meaningful, deep conversations with conservative friends. And we can almost always agree on a value. Right. And agree maybe even on an outcome that we wish to see. And then it should be a question of, well, if we have different policy proposals, let's see which one has worked better over time to express that value to get the outcome that we wish to seek. But if the data is bunk, if it's bad math, if it's bad data, if it's garbage in, it's garbage out, the whole good faith approach to data-driven policy goes out the window, right? And it's literally, right. we're just screaming into the wind at each other.
And really, all you have to do is look at Trump 1.0 to find out how they're going to treat the data. Look what happened during COVID, right? The numbers were being inflated, according to the administration. Not that many people were dying. Not that many people were hospitalized. I mean, that's just an example, the teeny tiniest compared to what we're at now, of how they're going to manipulate that sort of data. So, listen to the Maggie Dawn show. She'll keep you updated on all the data. We love data around here, right?
I'll call bunk when I need to call bunk. You betcha.
Exactly. All right. So let's do another, I would say maybe in the heavier vein of question, then maybe for our shorter segment here in a few minutes, we'll get into some of the lighter
stuff. Some fun things.
But this
okay.
is a really good, yeah. So this is another really good one. And this comes to us from Frida in Madison. And this goes back to the spring election. But I know there's some rumblings of lawsuits coming up with this one as well. So Frida wants to know, Wisconsin residents were promised $100 to sign that petition against activist judges and an additional $100 if you got someone else to sign up. So lots of progressives signed up in order to cash in on Elon's generosity, especially given that we believe in sharing the wealth and that Schimmel would have been an activist judge. So she wants to know, what can we do, though, to get Elon Musk to pay up? I think we're probably going to need a little time to parse this one through.
No. This is 30 seconds. Okay.
All right. I love it. 30 seconds, Jacob.
Frida, what I think you should do is find which person in your network of friends likes to play that video game online that Elon does, and get on the next time he's gaming live and just pelt him with an incessant stream of smack talk that he didn't make good on his promise to give you $100. I think you gotta shame Elon. I mean, does Elon not give you like a heavy whiff of guy who has never really been okay with himself? I mean,
yes.
Very ill confident. Like when the hole in your soul is so big that there's no amount of money or power or influence that could fill it and make you feel like a complete person, and you want to name your kid like a weird combination of letters and numbers. Yeah. Maybe it's time for therapy. Less chainsaw, more therapy.
Yeah, I totally agree. Did you see him yesterday during earlier this week, I guess. My weeks run together. Mm. Earlier this week in the cabinet meeting for the first 100 days where he had the Gulf of America on his hat. And then he does this weird double hat thing. Have you noticed that? Wears one over another.
Isn't everything about Elon odd? And if you haven't had the pure, unadulterated bliss of looking up Elon's pictures from about 20 years ago, I highly recommend that you spend 30 seconds this Friday afternoon and give it a little web browsering interwebs search, because let me just say this. He has a completely different jawline, a whole heck of a lot more hair, and he's slimmed down and beefed up. I'm sure that's all natural. What billions and billions and billions of dollars can buy you is a more attractive Elon Musk.
Well, you know, his mom was a model at one time in life. So
listen,
maybe?
I think it's Maeve Musk.
Yeah, something like
that. That is a beautiful woman. I will not take anything away from Maeve Musk. She's a gorgeous woman. I think she still does some cover girl stuff. Nice looking lady.
But then she had Elon. So where do you draw the line on the incredible beauty versus the offspring? Like, there's a fine line there.
Sometimes the apple falls quite far from the tree.
Yes, it does.
And let's just point this out. Elon Musk was born into a apartheid South Africa, into a filthy rich family. So let's not... You know, bootstraps maybe, but not for Elon and not for Donald Trump either. Listen, we're going to take care of a couple of quick messages. I'll be back with Jamie, my senior producer, and each and every one of you. Charles is on the phone line. You got questions? I got answers. It's Ask Maggie, 855-752-4842. That's 855-CIVIC. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. There's not much I don't like to chat about. This segment is dedicated to all of the things political and pop culture and all the things in between. A great big gulf of topics to talk about. You want to submit a question, you can do so on the text line 855-752-4842. We call this Ask Maggie. You can also send in an email. If in the middle of your Tuesday you come up with a brilliant question, you can send that to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. I got my senior producer, Jamie, riding along with me, asking me the tough questions and the fun ones. Be sure to get yours in. Again, text line is 855-75-CIVIC.
All right. Sorry, I was reading a bunch of texts coming in there. I wasn't ready to go. My goodness. Look at me, unprepared, like I've never done a radio thing before. All right. There's so many texts coming in, so I appreciate all of that. I'm trying to parse through all of those. And so I want to first touch on Tony the Trucker's text. He wants to know when we're going to have some sort of civic meet and greet, you know, if that's in the works, because he'd love to share a conversation and an adult beverage, maybe a couple adult beverages. He loves the show. He loves what Civic is doing. So, Tony, thank you for that. You never know when we're going to pop up at places. Let's be honest.
Yes.
It's getting to be that time of year. So you never know when we're going to pop up in your neck of the woods. Not to steal Gray Gunderson, who joined you during the week, not to steal his line and his thunder, but it's a good line. I like it. All right. So let's start with for this one, because we have so many questions coming in. We're going to try to get to as many of them as we can.
I can tell Tony the Trucker tomorrow I will be speaking at the Eau Claire County Democratic Party's annual convention. You can still get tickets. Check out their website. I will be their keynote speaker tomorrow afternoon, still sorting out my remarks. So if you want to see me tomorrow, Tony, I'll be at the Eau Claire Democratic Party annual meeting, putting together some thoughts.
Very nice. And then we'll be hanging out tomorrow night in Madison at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. They're a big gala that they have every year. So we'll be hanging out tomorrow night.
Lots
you're going to be like all over.
I'm tomorrow. Covering the state tomorrow. Yes.
I love it. All right. So this one comes to us from Adam in Oregon. And this is a great question. Now, he wants to know, taking the MAGA Cinco fans out of the equation, what line, Maggie, do you believe the Trump administration would need to cross for both Republicans in government and Republican voters to break away from him, understanding that those are possibly two very different lines? This is a really good question and probably a topic at some point we should explore a little further on the show. But let's do 60 seconds on this one, because I think you're going to have to dive a little deeper. So, Jacob, whenever you're ready to go.
I think Republican voters have to be moved first. We're not going to see any movement from current elected MAGAs in Congress. I just, there's too much groupthink and sort of enforced compliance, right? So the pain is going to have to be driven by MAGA voters, swing voters, and non-voters. Feeling, I think, what is some particularized pain? It's one thing when you say, oh, it's the black and brown people, it's immigrants, it's women, it's gay folk, and that has nothing to do with me. But if and when they actually start slashing Medicaid, right? When people, veterans, start trying to get healthcare appointments and they can't, I think that is when you're going to start to see even more exclaim and frankly anger, and when it's coming from their own base, I think that's going to be really extremely hard to ignore. And I also think, I mean, more broadly, they've been trying to write off, oh, these are Democratic plants at these town halls, oh, these are activists,
right?
When it ends up being indisputably Republicans and Trump voters and conservative judges and Trump appointed, like, that's where you start to where it cannot be explained away anymore. You can't spin it. And I think also that economic pain is coming. Like, they're not going to be able to spin that people won't be able to buy everything they want to buy at the prices they used to buy it for. come the end of May, right? Like that pain is going to be real. And you can only say, oh, it's the Biden economy for so long. By the end of May, we're even more weeks away from January 20th, right? Like it's going to be cumulative. And I do think there is a tipping point in the offing.
Yeah. And you mentioned Medicaid, and this news has been breaking this afternoon. Moderate House Republicans are in a bit of an uproar right now over the suggestion that they might agree to per capita caps and lowering the FMAP for Medicaid expansion population. Many of the moderates are only comfortable with about a $450 to $500 billion cut, at least as of right now. So that's going to be interesting to watch, though, as that comes to the floor, right? I feel like that could, I mean, some of these moderate Republicans are trying to hold to their values, but they're in swing districts as far as midterm elections. And they already can see the writing on the wall. In a lot of places.
This was a big topic yesterday. I mean, I've made the argument, and I did so yesterday, that if you look at the committee hearings over the last 3 days now on the MAGA budget bill, MAGA congresspeople on the House side literally said nothing in a variety of committee meetings. They didn't engage in debate at all. They voted unanimously down every single Democratic amendment. The reason they're not saying anything is that they can't. There's no defending an $880 billion cut to Medicaid. There's no defending a $500 billion cut to Medicaid. It will go badly. And as I said yesterday, MAGA House members, they're not afraid of Donald Trump. They're afraid of you. People in Tony Weed's district, Tom Tiffany, Brian Stile, Van Orton, that jerk. They're afraid of you, the voter. Let's make them pay. When we come back, let's talk about something good. We got Terry Barr joining us. She's on the road, so she's going to be on the phone for a little bit of what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, everybody, for your great questions. Keep it locked. We'll be right back. Everybody, welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Remember, you can watch me struggle with my in-studio camera on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. I think that's all the places where you can watch. Check it out on Civic Media's YouTube channel and on Insta and Facebook at Maggie Dawn Show. And you can see me and Jamie and Cal or Jacob. And most Fridays, my colleague in broadcasting, Terry Barr, but she's on the road to a big family event this Friday afternoon. So we got her on the phone line. Hey, Terry, happy Friday.
Oh, Maggie, happy Friday to YouTube and listening to your show on WISS all the way. I want to say I was tuned in for about 2 hours outside of Madison, all the way to Denmark, Wisconsin, up by Green Bay.
Hello, Denmark. I was actually in the country of Denmark when I was a junior in college. I lived there for a while studying EU economic integration. Don't worry, people. We won't talk about this half hour. I don't want anybody to fall asleep.
Oh, my gosh.
Hello, yeah. Denmark.
I'll fill you in on Denmark, Wisconsin when I get the opportunity. I'm going to check it out a little bit. But I'm actually here because kid baseball tournaments are back for the summer, and I'm so excited. This makes me feel good, Maggie, getting out there to see my nephew play ball. He is a pitcher and a first base guy, so I'm excited.
Is he a lefty?
He is.
Don't I know it? My dad was a pitcher and also played a lot of first base because he is a southpaw as well. So I am very familiar. So how tall is your nephew, Terry?
Well, he's, according to his mom now, he shot up in the last month and a half, and I haven't seen him. She's taller than I. He is now taller than I am, so he's probably above 5'4", 5'5".
I was like, Terry, that's not hard to do. That's not. I love you, my fun-sized friend.
Thanks a lot.
Of course.
Yeah. Pocket-sized, right?
Yes. Fun size, I like to call it. What good things do you have for us this Friday afternoon?
Well, you know, earlier this week, I was looking at the calendar and I realized Tourism Day, which is huge in the summer in Wisconsin, the actual day is celebrated next Wednesday. And it's also Bike Month. And I love both of those together. So I thought, who can tell me more about biking and tourism and kind of put it together so it makes sense? I found this couple in Green Bay, Peter and Tracy Flukey. They bike all over the place. They are not afraid to hop on their bike, go to a coffee shop two towns away, do the trails all over Wisconsin. But when I talked to them, what I learned, they have ridden their bikes all the way on Route 66. This just blows me away, Maggie. And I just think about how fun that would be by car. They said it was 20 times more fun by bicycle. And I have a little bit of comments from them to share. Let's take a listen to that.
We started in Green Bay, biked down through Chicago, got on the Route 66 route, and bicycled all the way to Santa Monica, California. It was a great adventure. And we saw so many amazing things. And Route 66 is cool because not only does it have a lot of natural areas, but all these really quirky little things along the route that bring you in. And,
you know, we're talking about bicycling. And obviously, most people think, you know, one person on one bike, one person on another bike. But when we're talking about some of the tourism and travels you do it together on one bike. Why?
So when we do our major tours, and often when we're just going out for rides together, we'll ride our tandem bicycle. And the funny thing in the tandem bicycling world is they say whichever way your relationship is going, it'll get there much, much faster on a tandem bicycle.
You know, and the interesting thing about riding a tandem together and then going to write our books. When we first wanted to write our first book, our publisher said, you need to write it in both of your voices. And we're like, really? And when you know, I'm only 6 inches behind him on the bike, but my experience is very different than his potentially. And if my voice was not in that book, you would get half of the trip or half of the adventure. Just adds to the ability to really enjoy that adventure together and each of us seeing and exploring something different.
Isn't that awesome?
That is just absolutely lovely.
So Peter and Tracy Flukey, they now started an organization so you can find their book about their travels, including the Route 66 trip, WeBike.org. But I love them so much because they have gone beyond now tourism. They go around the state of Wisconsin. They work with police departments on how to watch and how to teach safe biking. They go to schools and do something very similar and actually get kids out on their bikes to show them the rights and the wrongs. And they work with adults, you know, many who are a little trepidatious. I love my bicycle. I hate riding on busy roads.
Right.
And they teach you all the tricks because they've done it everywhere, obviously. If they were on Route 66 to California and then they still biked around California, they did 3,000 miles on just that trip.
Wow.
Really cool couple out of Green Bay.
That's amazing. So I have a kind of fun bike story myself. When I was when I was in grade school, there was this wonderful teacher. I went to St. Pius the 10th grade school in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. There was this incredible math teacher. His name was Dale Tutkowski. And he also ran a cycling club for the kids in like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And I remember I saved up my babysitting money because I had a supermarket or like Kmart purchased 10 speed that you assemble at home. God bless my dad for putting that puppy together that I had for a few years. But if you're going to try to bike 30, 40 miles as like a 13 or 14 year old kid, it's pretty hard on a bike that's not made for touring. So I saved up all my babysitting money to buy myself. I'm pretty sure it was a Schwinn Traveler, but it was kind of like the state of the art bike, and it took me a long time, got like, you know, all the reflective stuff. This is a sweet bike. It was amazing. I could hang with the best of them in our cycling club. It really made the point to me that, like, hey, the equipment deeply matters in bicycling. So I dusted this puppy off a couple years ago, Terry.
Oh.
Got it from my parents' garage. It had been hanging upside down. Like, I am in my late 40s, if that tells you how long ago this was. I go pick up the bike, and I was like, this was such an amazing bike. I've got a little, you know, like the fat tire, little puddle around the city with the big basket to the grocery store thing. But that puppy,
absolutely.
Right, that puppy weighs 40 pounds. I'm not going on a long bike ride with that. I'd exhaust myself.
Right.
So I was like, I wonder, I'll take my old Schwinn Traveler to my local bike fix-up place. Here's what happened. Every single gearhead in the bike shop came out to check out my bike. They're like, ooh, this thing is amazing. It's before they went to like the alloys. I don't even know what the stuff is called anymore. They're like,
so great.
This is an indestructible bike that goes so fast. And so we tuned it up. I got new tires and all the things. And they all wanted to know, like, are you okay if I take a ride on your bike? And I was like, yes, you gearheads, you can take a ride on my Schwinn Traveler from like 1989. But that is my random bike story. That thing, it was, you could see the love of people who truly know performance bikes.
Yes.
They were so excited to see this puppy. One guy actually took some pictures of it with his phone. And they're like, oh, we're going to give you the special handlebar wraps to match the body paint. They were just over the moon. And I was like, hey guys, looks like you're having more fun with it than I can just come back a little late. But they loved my bike from the eighth grade, which ride it all over on the Oak Leaf Trail. I love it. It's so much fun.
Well, and that's what Peter and Tracy Flukey really emphasized. Any kind of bike, and of course on a tandem bike, you're going to get some gawkers and some questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it has allowed them to meet so many amazing people, probably a little bit like you just experienced. So I find that awesome. You can hear the entire interview and read their story. It's on the Civic Media website right now at civicmedia.us. And it's under, I think I put it under both news and sports.
Because it is both news and sports.
It is. So happy National Bike Month to you. There are bike-friendly cities in Wisconsin as well, 22 of them, in fact. And this is one thing the Flukies are really proud of. The more cities that get on the list, the more you can feel convenience and safety and ease as you cruise around these various cities on your bicycle.
Yeah, same thing goes with the motorcycles. Biking in a group is always safer. Drivers are more apt to see you. Thanks so much for that story. What else you got for us, Terry?
Well, that is pretty much my wrap on the good stuff. I know it's been a hard week for all of this week, but I thought that was one of the most fun things that I have heard in the last couple of days. And I always love to hear your stories. And
we never plan these. I just have a million random stories about things. And I have to say this. I remember playing in early spring league softball.
Oh, yeah.
Much like your nephew is right now. And how stinking cold some of the games were, which was always such a stitch, right? Because I would end up with like the darkest tan of all of my friends by the time I was done with all the travel leagues in the summer. Mm-hmm. But it was like the worst farmer's tan imaginable because you can...
With your uniform.
Correct. I looked a little silly when I was a kid. But those early spring league games, man. Whew, are the games in Denmark, Terry, or are you proceeding on elsewhere?
No, in Denmark, and I am right outside the ball field, so I am looking forward to getting in there. And, you know, I would encourage anybody, if you live in a town or a city that has these traveling tournaments, and that's what my nephew, he's on a team from Shawano,
yep.
And he made the traveling team, go to one and just enjoy the joy of it. There's so much stress and everything else. I won't even get into all the emotions when you're in knee deep during the week. But I've been looking forward to this all week just because I know all that matters in the next 2 hours is what these kids do and the joy and how they react when they win. It just makes you feel so happy.
Yeah, I also like the vibe, as long as it's not like the crazy parent vibe, but like a lot of youth sport events, as long as you don't have the crazy parents, like people are having fun. We had like the best cheers on my softball team. We had all like the hand slapping thing. I mean, we're very good at it. And I got a little tip off our text line for you, Terry, and your nephew.
Love it.
Perhaps post-game, Brian from Green Bay recommends that you all get some burgers at the Drift Inn in De Pere while you're up there. I love a good tavern eatery name in Wisconsin.
That
places
is the
like
best.
Drift Inn. Yes, the Drift Inn in De Pere from Brian in Green Bay. Thanks so much, Terry, and good luck to your nephew. I hope he lodges a win. We're going to be back with my final thoughts on the week after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Are you all as relieved as I am that it is 6 o'clock on Friday, that we made it? Phew, finally. Thanks for hanging out with me this afternoon. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not going to want to go anywhere, though. We got Pete Schwab up next with Nightlight. Always some nice, relaxing reflections on pop culture, movies, trivia, all kinds of good stuff. I like to give him a listen on my way home because you got to turn off the news sometime. I got my senior producer, Jamie, back with me because we got some great stuff coming up next week for the Maggie Dawn Show. Tell us more, Jamie.
Well, we've been a little busy, like booking these amazing people. I mean, we're going to start out next week. Matt Rothschild is going to be in as your co-host on Monday, and Dr. Melinda Brennan is going to be joining us from the ACLU of Wisconsin. So that's going to be super fun. We've got more Jim Santel next week. And then, of course, we're going to have, now we get to like brag a little bit, right? We get to brag just a little bit. Heather Cox Richardson is going to be joining you next week as well. If you've never caught her online, please go do some research on Heather Cox Richardson. She speaks the truth. And she's one of those really rare people who kind of bridges the gap between the right, the left, a little bit of the centrist. And she just tells you like it is. I love Heather.
She also, you know, when my hair is on fire, Heather is just cool. She has the number one Substack in the country. Substack is basically a newsletter that you subscribe for. I've got a Substack. I will start getting some content out there. But Heather Cox,
all your spare time.
That's right. All the leftover hours in the day. HCR has got a Substack. She's got millions of subscribers. I read her analyses every day. Sometimes I use portions of it on our show here. But here's what I like about it. She is a historian. And so her newsletters, and when I have spoken with her, we've had two on-air interviews on this program. When I've spoken with her, there is this very interesting sort of tete-a-tete that she uses with historical, like, here is the historical analogy to what's happening right now, or here is the historical context. Here's when this happened again, presented in a way that's very different from your history books from grade school and high school. She susses out and teases out details from our historical record that help inform and really help us to have a different foothold, a different understanding of what's going on now. And she does it in a way that I find refreshingly restrained.
Yes. Yes. She's a college professor by trade, right? And you can tell because she knows how to lay out a conversation and make her points in a very intellectual way that doesn't seem overwhelming all at the same time. And that is an art. Let me tell you, that is an art to that. So we're very, very excited. She's going to be joining you next week. And then we have a special show that we're going to be doing on Thursday. And this is actually one from Headlines in Wisconsin. And it's going to involve the sexploitation and sextortion of kids online. And we're going to get into a little bit of the bill that is being presented in the state of Wisconsin called Braden's Law. We're going to have John DeMay of Michigan in. If you don't know his story, I don't want to give too much away because I want everybody to listen next Thursday. But his son, Jordan, took his own life because of a sextortion case in Michigan. And John has been on this mission to basically raise awareness and has a bill in law now enacted into law in Michigan named after his son. So John's going to be here to tell his story. And then went out and we found Dave Schroeder from UW-Madison, who is an expert in cybersecurity. So he's going to give us a little information on not only keeping our kids safe, but ourselves safe in this day of disinformation and bots and all of this stuff that floods us online. So it's going to be a good week.
I grew up, and as did you, Jamie, we are familiar with one another's ages and we're similar mm-hmm. in age, in a time where the stupid stuff that you do because your brain isn't fully formed as a young right. person doesn't have existential consequences. And I think often most of my friends have kids that range in age from newborns to college age mm-hmm. students. And I often talk with them and mostly just listen to their challenges in keeping their kids safe online. And the threats that are it's out there scary. Are very real. One of my dear friends, her mom was just victimized by a online scam where the person reached out, texted, said, "This is your daughter, so-and-so. I'm stuck. I lost my phone. Please, I'm in trouble. I got arrested. Can you wire money?" And .. like $40,000 later.
Yep.
And the shame of all of this, there's a common theme in a lot of online scams, and it is leveraging our trust in one another and then creating shame because we trusted someone online
yes.
and using that to further the exploitation. So that's going to be an incredibly important conversation. Jamie, kudos and thanks to you for helping put that together for all of our listeners.
I love doing it. And the best part is Dave's going to actually take calls from listeners. So if there's something you want to know as that conversation is happening, you just got to call in and Dave will be happy to maybe lay some things out and answer those questions or quandaries that a lot of people have when it comes to this weird world of being online now. So
forewarned is forearmed. Jamie, thank you so much for an incredible array of guests this week, for helping getting our show up and running in this new drive time slot. My thanks to Cal and Jacob for helping me out on the board this week. And most of all, my thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in. I hope you have a great weekend. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Take care.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.